Hello and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Hey, we're so glad you've joined us. Today, we're continuing a powerful series called Radicalis, Developing Spiritual Roots. And in this series, Rick will show you how to grow deep in your faith, stay grounded in God's Word, and become everything He created you to be. Okay, and now here's Rick with the final part of a message called Radical Gratitude.
Now, the Bible says that as believers, we are to live in a way, it says, live in a way that makes the truth about God attractive. You are to live in such a way that it makes the truth about God attractive. Do you do that? Do people look at you and go, man, I'd like to know more about the Bible? Do they look at your life and you are so winsome in your gratitude that people go, man, what gives with that person? She's never complaining, but she's always grateful. He's always being positive. He's always building people up. I'd like to be like that guy. Do you do that? How do you make the truth of God more attractive? By developing radical gratitude, the roots of gratitude. In fact, here's what the Bible says on the screen, Philippians 2. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Let's just stop there for a minute. Okay, let's just don't skip over that part. Do everything without arguing? Oh, come on. Do everything without complaining? Be serious. That's what God says to do. Friends, can I be honest with you as your pastor? There are some scriptures in the Bible that I don't understand and don't make sense. I don't have a problem with those. I just figure I'm not smart enough. My brain's too small. God knows what He's doing. And one day I'll get to heaven. God will explain why He did what He did. And it didn't make sense to me, but He said, do it this way. I don't have a problem with the parts of the Bible I don't understand. I have a problem with the parts I do understand. Like that verse. That's not like open to questions and conjecture. It's not like, well, that's your interpretation. When He says, do everything without complaining and arguing, there's only one interpretation. Don't complain, don't argue. As a believer, you are never to complain or to argue. Holy guacamole, how in the world do you do that one? Okay. He says, if you do that, you will be so unusual in the world because everybody complains and everybody argues. You're going to make the truth of God attractive. It's a witness. He says you will become blameless. You'll be blameless and pure. It'll show you're a child of God without fault. He said you'll be faultless, if you could do that, in a crooked and depraved generation, which is cynical and sarcastic and critical, in which you shine like stars in the universe. We sing that song, we will shine like stars in the universe because we're living for your glory. How do you live for God's glory? You don't complain and you don't argue, but you're grateful in every situation. That would change the world. That would bring millions of people to Christ. Not our protest signs, but our gratitude. And he says, that will be so, you see, Christians should be known for radical love, radical kindness, radical joy, radical gratitude. There's a word for that. It's called Christ-like. The problem is we're not doing a very good job of this. We really aren't. This week I read some depressing statistics in World Magazine. They did a survey nationally, how Americans under 30 view evangelicals. Now, who's an evangelical? You are. An evangelical is not an evangelist. An evangelical is someone who believes the good news, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for my sins, that by His grace I can go to heaven, my past can be forgiven, I get a home in heaven, purpose for living. That's an evangelical. You're an evangelical. It comes from the word evangel, which is the Greek word for good news. That's all it is, somebody who believes the good news. So they did a survey how Americans under 30 view evangelicals. And here were the results. 85% said they're hypocritical. 78% of Americans said they're old-fashioned. 75% said they are too involved in politics. 72% said out of touch with reality. 70% said insensitive to others. And 68% said boring. We're not doing a very good job of representing Jesus. If that's what the world thinks of us, we're not doing a very good job. Why? Because we're not radically loving, radically kind, radically compassionate. We're really no different than anybody else. And what we need is a radical change in the way we act to be like Christ, to have those roots. And my goal, my desire, my dream, and I want you to be a part of this, is that they take this survey 10 years from now and they get a whole different list. And they go, you know, when I think of evangelicals, I think of those are the people who help you when everybody else walks out of your life. Those are the people who give you a second chance, like in Celebrate Recovery. Those are the people who they stand for the truth, but they share it in a loving way. You can disagree with somebody and still love them. Those are the people who are kind. They are generous to a fault. Those are the people who give you the shirt off their back. They're the people who act like Jesus. They care for the poor and the sick. They help educate the next generation. They do all the things that the peace plan does. That's what the church needs to be known for. Not for boring, negative, and all these other things. The Bible says this on the screen. There's a verse in Proverbs 11:11 says, good people bless and build up their city, but the wicked destroy it with their words. How do you destroy a city with your words? Negativity, criticism, complaining, griping, all of those kind of things. And the Bible says good people build up their city. What if every person in our church family, what if we set a goal like this week? We said, I want everybody this week to 5 times a day express gratitude or appreciation to people in the city. I'm not talking about to other believers. I'm not talking about to your family. I'm talking about people in the grocery line. Man, I like the way you bagged those groceries. The post office person, the clerk. What if every one of us in our church said, we're going to be radically grateful. And 5 times a day in the community this next week, I'm going to tell 5 people, you know, I'm just grateful for what you did. Thank you for the way you did that. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your help. Just expressing thank you. That would equal, if we did it every day for a week, that would equal over 1 million impressions in our community. Do you think that would change the climate and atmosphere? Absolutely. We, this one church, could change the atmosphere of Southern California. If we, everybody, 5 times a day expressed great gratitude to somebody in the community, not a believer, every day for a month, it'd be about 30 million impressions. That would radically change the atmosphere in our community. You can bless people just by being grateful. You know, one of the ways you can say is, you know, I thank God for you. Now, you better be genuine. You better have a reason for it. Think it through. But one of the ways you can bless people is say, you know what? God has really gifted you. You're good at, I don't know how you do this, the way you close deals. I don't know how the way you wrap packages. I don't know how you do this, the way you, you know, give my dog a bath. Or I don't know, whatever it is. Whatever. You know, you just be grateful. And if you become a radically grateful person, you're going to start building roots in your life that's going to make you stand through the toughest things of the next decade. Now, the way God wired the universe, I love God. He's so cool. The way he has wired the universe is that when you give out and you help other people by showing appreciation and gratitude, God makes sure you always get back blessed more in return. And there are 4 personal benefits you get from developing radical gratitude. Would you write these down? These are the 4 things that'll happen. If you will show gratitude in every circumstance, 4 things will happen in your life. Number 1, first benefit, it keeps me in God's will. You won't have to doubt whether you're in God's will or not. If you're giving thanks to God in every situation, you are in the center of God's will. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to question. Giving thanks to God is not and to others is not a duty. It's a privilege. And the alternative is disobedience. This keeps you in God's will. Number two, it makes me better, not bitter. Particularly when times are tough. If you'll learn to have the attitude of gratitude in every situation, no matter what happens, you say, God, I'm going to give thanks in this situation. It will make you better, not bitter. Now, every one of you have an excuse to be bitter. I didn't say a reason. I said, you got an excuse. Because we've all been hurt. We've all had difficulties. All things haven't gone the way we wanted them to. And you could get bitter. But you don't want to be bitter. You want to be better. So you need to be grateful instead of bitter that God can bring good out of it. Now, let me tell you something. Whoever you're holding a grudge against, whoever you still resent, whoever you haven't forgiven, you let it go now because you don't want to take last decade's grudge into tomorrow. That's foolish because at the end of the next decade, you'll just be more bitter person than you are now. Whoever has hurt you, whoever has harmed you, you need to let it go. You need to forgive them, not because they deserve it. You didn't deserve God's forgiveness. Let it go so you can get on with a clean slate. Do not take yesterday's grudges into tomorrow's decade. I beg you as your friend and pastor. Number three, third benefit of radical gratitude is it defeats the devil. You say, how does that work? Well, let me explain it. It defeats the devil because the devil loves to mess you up. Now, the devil's got your number. And what he likes to do is to get you angry, get you upset, get you irritated. He likes to get you depressed, discouraged. He likes to get you jealous, envious, greedy, lustful. He likes to do all these different things. And he knows your buttons. And so he has figured you out, and he knows that if he can just push this button, you'll get angry, you'll get irritated, you'll lose your joy, you'll lose your peace, you'll lose your love, you'll lose your connection with God. And so he pushes that button. Now, what Satan does not like to do, he hates for you to do, is to thank God. He can't stand to hear you thank God. He can't stand to hear you praise God. So when you, if he does something in your life and you thank God in it, it gets him off his game. Because his idea is, I'm going to do this, push this button, and it'll make them irritated. But if I push this button, and every time I push this button, they just say, well, I'm going to thank God in this situation. He's going to stop doing it. Does this make sense? You see, it's like Pavlov's response. If you keep doing something and he keeps getting a result from it, he'll keep doing it. And if there's somebody in your life who irritates you and he knows that, he'll just keep bringing that person into your life and irritate you and irritate you and irritate you. Because, got him, that one works. Well, let's do that one again. But if every time that person starts to irritate you, you go, oh, God, I thank you in this irritation. I'm just so grateful for you because I know that even in this, you can teach me patience. You can teach me love. I can learn that this isn't that big a deal. I can learn it's not about me. I can learn to be more unselfish. I can give you 100 reasons that I can learn from this situation. Now, this is not our normal response. Okay, friends, I have ADD, which means you can be scatterbrained. It also means you can be intensely focused. And when I get intensely focused on a project and somebody interrupts me, I don't naturally say, oh, thank God for this interruption. I'm just not that way. Or when somebody irritates me, oh, man, I love this irritation. Bring it on. But here's the thing. If you can learn to thank God in everything in your life, you just shut out the devil. He starts irritating you over here and you go, I'm just not going to let that bother me anymore. I'm just going to go, Lord, instead of being irritated by that person, I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to thank God for that person. I'm going to thank God for you, and I'm going to thank God for the lesson of learning. Satan has to move to Project B. He starts trying to irritate you, get your goat, get you to lose your joy here. Lord, I'm going to thank you in this situation. So he starts moving over here. Lord, I'm going to thank you in this. If you learn to thank God in everything, you develop basically a wall of thanksgiving, a wall of praise around you that frustrates the devil no end because he can't get at you Because no matter what he does, you're not getting ticked anymore. You're just going, thank you, God. I don't know why this is happening. I don't like it, but I'm going to trust you, and I thank you. And you praise God in every situation, and there's no way for him to get at you. And it defeats the devil. Number four, the fourth benefit is it causes miracles. Gratitude is the source of miracles. It is the cause of miracles. Why? Because faith is thanking God in advance. Now listen real closely. When God does something for me and I thank God for it after it's happened, that's called gratitude. When I thank God for an answer to prayer before I get it, that's called faith. Faith is thanking God in advance. In other words, the Bible says in the book of Mark, where Jesus said, when ye pray, believe that ye have received it and ye shall have it. What does that mean? You said, I got to believe I got it in order to get it. Yep. That's called faith. If you wait till after you've got it to thank God, that's called gratitude. If you thank God before you get it, that's called faith. Faith is thanking God in advance. Now, let's just take a practical subject. Let's say in the next decade, you want to get married. Now, a lot of people don't pray for a partner. They whine for a partner. Oh, God, I need a husband. Oh, God, you just let him have a heartbeat. I don't care. Okay, he could look like Rick Warren for all I care, you know. And I just let him be alive, God. And you're whining. God doesn't answer whines. Okay, he doesn't answer whines. Here's how you pray over a long term. Now, first, why do you have to keep praying over and over and over? Because God says be persistent in your prayer. Are you trying to beat God down, trying to convince him that you need a husband? No. God wants to answer your prayer more than you want it answered. God is waiting on you. He's not you waiting on him. He wants to make some changes in you, some radical changes in you to get you ready for the answer for whatever prayer you're asking. And when you're ready, he can answer your prayer. So what you do is you ask once and then you just keep thanking God in advance. God, you know what I need. I need a new job. And now you don't just keep saying, by the way, God, I need to remind you, I need a new job. God, I need a job. Hello. No, God heard it the first time. Faith is thanking God in advance. Say, God, remember I asked for a job a month ago? Thank you that the answer is on its way. I don't see it. I don't know where it's coming from, but I thank you that it's on the way. You turned off one faucet, you can turn on another just as easily. And so, God, I'm thanking you in advance. That is the source of miracles. Faith is thanking God in advance for the answer to the prayer before you get it. This is what Jesus did in the miracles. One of the stories of Jesus, I told you a couple weeks ago about how Jesus had a friend named Lazarus who got sick. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent a note to Jesus, said, Jesus, you better come on over and come over and heal him. Jesus was one day from their house, one day's walk. And as I told you a couple weeks ago, he took 3 days to get there. I don't know what he was doing for 3 days, skipping around and picking flowers or telling jokes, but it took him 3 days to get to where his best friend was dying. And by the time he gets there, Lazarus is dead and they've buried him in a cave. They didn't bury him in the ground in those days. They carved caves out of the limestone walls and they rolled a stone in front of it. Now, Jesus wasn't in a hurry. Why? Anytime God is not in a hurry in your life, he wants to do something bigger. Jesus didn't want to heal Lazarus. He wanted to raise him from the dead. More glory for God. Anytime God has taken his time, he wants to do something bigger than you have been thinking of. So he gets there, and they've already buried him. They say, Lord, it's too late. We've already buried the guy. We wrapped him up, like in those grave cloths, like a mummy, and put him in the cave. And Jesus says, open up the cave. And then is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I memorized it as a little boy. And Mary says, but Lord, he stinketh. I thought that was such a cool verse when I was a kid. One of the only verses I memorized in the Bible. But Lord, he stinketh. Well, duh, he's been dead for 3 days. Okay, and they're not embalming. And it's in the Mediterranean and it's hot. And Jesus walks up and he says, move the stone out of the way. And here's what Jesus says. He looks in the cave and he says, Lord, he's talking to the Father. He says, Father, I thank you that you've already heard me. He didn't ask God to raise Lazarus. He didn't beg God to raise Lazarus. He said, I thank you, Lord, that you've already heard me. And I'm just saying this aloud so the people around me will publicly know that I am who you say I am and that you sent me. And so they may know that I am the one. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth, come out. And today he would say, Lazarus, come on down. And Lazarus comes walking out. Now, I love it that he had to say Lazarus, because if Jesus had just said, come out, every dead person in Jerusalem would have come out of the tombs. Okay, so he had to be specific. Lazarus, come out. And he comes out and he says, take the grave clothes off him, loose him and let him go. The point was, he thanked God, the Father, in advance. When you start doing this, you're moving to a new level of maturity. You're moving to deeper spiritual roots. Now, some of you have lost your joy, and you're not as close to God as you used to be. You need to get your, you know how you get it back? Gratitude. Get a new believer around you, and just get around them, and you'll start getting excited again. Or go out and watch a baptism, and let it remind you of when you were baptized. You know, it's kind of like going to a wedding. You ever gone to a wedding, and all of a sudden, you like fall in love with your wife again? You know, it's like you go there and you go, oh, you know, it's something you see other people in love. You go, I want to be that way. When you see somebody baptized, you get around a new believer, it gets your spark back. And remember what you were like before, you know. See, the longer you're a believer, the more you take for granted. All those answered prayers, all the great things in your life, it's happened. The first time you had an answered prayer, you go, wow. But now you get an answered prayer, you go, well, that's typical. And when you went through a tough time the first time and God really helped you, I go, man, that really helped. Now it's happened so many times, you take it for granted. You need to get your roots deeper. And I invite you to join me on a radical journey, the journey of deeper Christian roots. Let's bow our heads. You're going to need Christ in your life. If you've never opened your life to him, you need to say this right now. Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but I want to put my faith in you. I want to trust you to know your plan for my life. I ask you to forgive me. Thank you for dying for me. I don't understand that, but I want to get to know you and love you and trust you. Would you pray, Lord, I want to honor you this week. I want to start every day with gratitude. I don't want my feet to touch the ground without saying, thank you, God. And Lord, I want to build relationships. I want to get closer to some people. Help me to be grateful for them, to express gratitude to the people I want to be close to in my small group, in my family, in my fellowship. And Lord, you know the tough times I'm going through, and I'm going to thank you just like Habakkuk did. Even though everything goes wrong, I will still thank you. I want to develop my faith and trust you, believing that you know what's best and I don't. I want to serve other people this week by raising their value, by appreciating them. And Lord, I want my life to be a witness. I don't want Christians to be known for the negative. I want you to use me to be a positive person this week, expressing gratitude to people in our city, wherever I'm working, wherever I'm playing. Make a difference through me, a radical difference. And I pray this prayer in your name. Amen.
Hey, if you've just prayed along with Rick to accept Jesus in your life, Rick would love to hear from you. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. We'll send you free tools to help start your relationship with Jesus. And now this really is one of my favorite parts of the broadcast, letters from our listeners. Here's Rick.
Friends, here's an incredible testimony from a woman named Amy in Indiana about how she used a Daily Hope devotional to lead her own son to Christ. You could do this too. Here's what she wrote.
Dear Pastor Rick, I've been carrying a burden this past month for my 15-year-old son who had not accepted Christ. But last night was the night. I finally went into his room and I asked him, and he told me, no, that he hadn't accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. So then I asked if he would like to, and he said, yes. Well, I had him read the prayer of salvation attached to the Daily Hope devotional. And then I prayed with him, and I prayed for him. Wow. Amy, what an incredible, precious moment that you were able to lead your son to Jesus. It's the most important thing you'll ever do as a parent. And I'm so blessed to hear your testimony, and I hope it encourages every other parent to be faithful like that. I want to just pray for you and your son right now. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you for caring so much that you made a way for us to become a part of your family so that we can join you in heaven one day. And thank you for giving Amy the courage to ask the question. Thank you for giving her the courage to talk to her son about you. And we're so grateful that he's accepted you into his heart. Now we ask you to give him a receptive heart and help him to get into God's word on a daily basis. We know that's the way he's going to grow. So thank you, Lord, for Amy's obedience. And Jesus, right now I'm praying for more and more people to do what Amy did, to have the courage to step out and share their faith with a friend, a neighbor, a loved one who doesn't know you yet. I'm praying that you will give them just the right words and just the right time to share just the right message of your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friends, there is nothing more important you can do than lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Your life can never be considered a failure if somebody's going to be in heaven because of you. You've helped them settle their eternal destiny. In fact, that's why Daily Hope exists. It's simply one more method to help you tell more and more people about the forgiveness and the hope and the salvation and the love and the joy that's found in Jesus Christ. Through Daily Hope, we can work together to help other moms and dads like Amy and others reach their sons and their daughters for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm always grateful for your prayers, and I'm always grateful for your financial support. But you may ask, how important is your donation to Daily Hope Ministry? Just ask Amy. She's got a son who's going to be in heaven because you gave. Thank you, everybody.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.